A reading from John chapter 4. Jesus came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, so Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour. There came a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria?" For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty forever. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband.' For you have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." Just then his disciples came back. They marveled that he was talking with a woman. But no one said, "What do you seek?" or "Why are you talking with her?" So the woman left her water jar and went away into town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ?" They went out of town and were coming to him. Many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me all that I ever did." So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world." In the name of Jesus, dear sons and daughters of God, amen. If you ever went to a movie and all of a sudden started seeing, played out in real time, in real life, your life, what would you do? Would you stick around to watch it? Or would you run away as quickly as you could, wondering if it's being broadcasted across the whole world, right? I mean, closer to home, if you came here and all of a sudden you saw before you your life being played out in real time, would you run away as fast as you could? Would you want to hide and never come back again? Amen. It's a challenge, you know, but this is the truth. Nothing escapes the divine scrutiny of Almighty God. I mean, he knows all of your secrets and not so secrets. I mean, it's fascinating. He really knows what's going on in your life and my life across the spectrum of who and what you and I are. He knows our thoughts. He knows our words. He knows our actions. He sees it all. I mean, that's what was happening long ago when Jesus is in Samaria, and he encounters this woman traveling about, you know, his ministry. Was it by coincidence that they met, or was this a divine appointment? Did Jesus really want to meet this woman and talk with her, or was it random? Did he care about her life? I think so. And it's fascinating, the exchange that goes on. You know, Jesus is sitting there at Jacob's well. And think of all the history. Jacob's well, my goodness. And obviously, she's proud of it. I mean, she knows the family history. Although, she's a part of the family that no one wants to talk to anymore. And there were all these rules, social norms, and so forth. But Jesus talks with her and reveals to her that she's been married 5 times, and the guy that she's with, they didn't even go about even going through any kind of a formal ceremony. You suppose she has a lot of pain? A lot of things she's ashamed of? A lot of history? I mean, she was in a small town. I have a feeling that a lot of people knew about her life. That's the way small towns are. But here's a stranger, and he knows about her. In fact, she says this. When she talks with people in town, she says, "He told me all that I ever did." As far as she's concerned, I mean, this is one of those things you kind of want to know. What all did you talk about there at Jacob's well? In that you would say that he told me all about my life. I mean, I'm not sure if we're supposed to be finding out all the juicy details about people's lives in heaven. But what happened there? And why did Jesus care? Because he loved her life, even if she was ashamed of it. He sought to heal her life, even if she thought she was beyond help. So Jesus understands your life and my life totally, not to hurt us, not to be that nagging reminder of all the ways that we have fouled up and failed, but to actually bless us. And so he has this conversation with her. And it's interesting how it's like she's starting to dodge some things. Oh, I see you're a prophet. And then she wants to talk about worship with him. But he really wants to talk about her. He wants to talk about her life. You see, he's come to Samaria to bless her life and to change it. And that's really good news when you think about it. When you think about that, she ended up having a story to tell. So what is the real story about you? Are you the sum total of your faults and failures? Or are you at this place and this time just the tragic ebb and flow of consequences and circumstances, and that's the way the cookie crumbles? Or is there more to your life than just dates and places and names? Much more. Because Jesus loves your life too. He loves you. And he wants to bless you. And he knows all about your faults and failures. He also knows about mine. And it's in those very places that he can bless like no one else can. And that's just really an amazing thing. How many of you have stories to tell about your life? I grew up in a home where we had all kinds of stories about relatives. It stops at grandpa and grandma, and maybe a little bit about great-grandpa on one side, not much about the other. But I've had fun telling my kids stories about my life growing up, and I like to tell them stories about their life growing up with me. But, you know, there are stories that we just can't talk about. in your life and my life where if we spend too much time on them, they can still bring back things. But it's to those that Jesus seeks to bring healing in your life and my life. Think about it. As Jesus walked about the Judean countryside and even into Samaria, you know, he was interacting with people. It's fascinating, the people he's talking with. I mean, the disciples, when they show back up, they marveled. You see, Jesus is breaking all these social norms. You're not supposed to talk to Samaritans if you're a Jew, because that's the bad side of the family, and we've given up on them long ago. And a woman, why in the world is he talking with a woman not worthy of any time of day? And it's fascinating. John crystallizes these two social norms by saying, no one said, what do you seek? So they didn't want to talk to her. And no one said, why are you talking with her? So they didn't even want to talk. I mean, they don't know what to do. But of course, Jesus does. He knows how to talk with you about what you've been through. He knows how to talk with you about what you're dealing with. He loves your life. He loves your story. And he actually wants to share in it and be a part of it. To the point that even now our resurrected and risen Savior is still our constant companion. Certainly he wants to share with you whatever you're going through and dealing with, whether it has to do with the coronavirus and all the crazy things that are happening, or the things that just are involving you in your life. He certainly wants to share it with you. The fascinating thing about this is that this is good news, that Jesus really knows your life and my life. He knows how to get to those parts and pieces in your life and my life where we're stuck and we're lost and we don't know what to do. And he does it so he can write his story of grace in your life and my life. He wants to change the way that we look at our life. He doesn't want us to feel guilty anymore about what happened. He doesn't want us to feel ashamed anymore. In fact, he wants us just to move forward, trusting that it's all covered by his grace and that it's precious to him. In fact, there's a passage of scripture I want to share with you. It's in Hebrews chapter 12. We hear this. It's just such a beautiful passage. It goes this way. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. He started a story in your life when you first began to believe. A story of grace. A wonderful story of how he can work all things together for good. I can't figure that one out, but I believe it. It's good news. How he can write his grace into parts and pieces of my life, I can't figure that out either, but that's good news. He's making your life and my life into a masterpiece by his grace in our life. And he's our constant companion who laid down his life. I mean, think about it this way. As Paul said in Romans chapter 5, for while we were still weak at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. God shows his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And now Jesus is in the process of turning our lives into God's masterpieces, witnesses to what he has done. I mean, think about the woman. She's amazed at what she hears from Jesus. She goes to town. Could this be the Messiah, the one who would come and save us? And obviously, they draw the conclusion, and they say to her, it is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world. She told them her story. Did she understand that she was being an evangelist? No. She just told the story. She's amazed at what Jesus has done in her life and for her. And are we any different? Maybe your story doesn't touch as many people as this woman's story did. but it still can touch lives. So as you think about what God is doing in your life, tell your story. Tell people what God has done. Maybe there are things in your life you've been telling people about. Maybe there are some painful things where you know there are things that you can share with others that will help them see God's grace and mercy. Tell your story. I mean, I don't know. What is happening as God writes his grace into our life? What becomes our real story? What we've been or what God has made us into by the grace of Jesus Christ? Could it be that on the shores of heaven, you'll see the life of Stace Rollefson debut, becoming a blockbuster hit, where you see how Christ saved me from all kinds of things in my life? Could it be the next week we have Ron Iscaro on? Could it be the following day we have Susan? I mean, who knows? Gulp, do we want anybody to see our story? But what's the real story? What we've been, or what God has made us into by his grace and mercy in Jesus Christ? Could it be that God's grace edits all the bad stuff out and covers us with the blood of Jesus, so in the end, the applaud isn't for me at the end of my movie debut or Susan's or Ron's, but it's the applaud for God's amazing grace, so that even in heaven, we're thankful for what God has done through his Son for us. Because in fact, it's his story that impacts all of our stories, that changes our stories forever. And man, isn't that a story to tell? So tell your story in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now may the peace of God that goes beyond all that we understand, may that peace from God guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.